Worst mass shooting in US history. 50 people are dead after a gunman opened fire in a gay nightclub in Orlando, in Florida.
Police in major cities across this country tonight are on heightened alert. This evening, the FBI and the police are now increasing security at the annual Pride Parade in Los Angeles.
A crushing weekend, the world remembering the lives lost in that tragic shooting, the deadliest in US history.
My son was in there with his boyfriend and two other guys. They heard about 20 shots.
That went bam, 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 bam.
People screaming and falling. Everybody was running.
I got a text message from my daughter and my two nieces. Please come and get us.
Please come get us out because he's about to kill us.
This is an especially heartbreaking day for all of our friends, our fellow Americans who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The shooter targeted a nightclub where people came together to be with friends, to dance and to sing and to live. The place where they were attacked is more than a nightclub. It is a place of solidarity and empowerment where people have come together to raise awareness, to speak their minds and to advocate for their civil rights. So this is a sobering reminder that attacks on any American, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, or sexual orientation, is an attack on all of us and on the fundamental values of equality and dignity that define us as a country. And no act of hate or terror will ever change who we are or the values that make us Americans. Today marks the most deadly shooting in American history. The shooter was apparently armed with a handgun and a powerful assault rifle. This massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon that lets them shoot people in a school, or in a house of worship, or a movie theater, or in a nightclub. And we have to decide if that's the kind of country we want to be. And to actively do nothing is a decision as well.
Can tell me where my son is, if he's been shot, if he's dead, if no one knows. But they told me there are fatalities. It's terrible. He's my only child. My son, he got shot 3 times.
I'm Andy Thomas, and welcome to a rather different shout-out today as we reflect on the events of the weekend and bring you coverage of the vigil that happened here in Bristol. In the early hours of Sunday morning, 49 people were killed in an attack on a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. It is the worst mass shooting in recent US history. The suspect, who has been named as 29-year-old Omar Martin, who was a US national, took hostages at the club in a three-hour ordeal, which led to SWAT officers officers shooting him dead. Mateen has been investigated twice by the FBI since 2013, but wasn't on an active terrorism watch list, and US President Obama has said that there was no evidence he was part of a larger plot. The wife of the gunman could, however, face charges in connection with the attack, according to a report. A grand jury has been convened to investigate Noor Salman after she was reported to have told police she tried to talk her husband out of attacking the nightclub. As well as the 49 people who lost their lives, 53 others were hurt and some are still in a critical condition. A fundraising campaign has started on the fundraising site GoFundMe, who have donated over $100,000 themselves. Of the $7 million target right now, it stands at $4.7 million that has been raised. As well as over 100,000 individuals, companies have been donating too. Amongst them are Disney, who've donated over $1 million, and Target with $250,000 donation. Vigils have been taking place across the world, including here in Bristol, and ours took place on Tuesday evening on College Green, which we broadcast live on Facebook. And in the studio with me is Mary, Terry and Mitch, who are also there. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
I don't know where to kick off. I guess reflection on the events of the weekend. What was your take when you first saw the news breaking?
Well, it was like everybody else. We're all very shocked, and it was such a it was a very emotional day at the vigil, because it all brought home the fact that there are still people that have such a hate towards the LGBT community. Mm. But what was really important for the vigil happened was the show of strength.
Yeah.
Mm. from the LGBT community.
And yeah, that's how it felt, wasn't it?
It was a very emotional. I mean, I still feel really emotional about it all, and it feels like a real trigger, because you just think, what if that was here? You know, what if that had happened here? How would we all be feeling? And listening to those voices of the victims' families brings it home even more, because it's their personal losses.
Yes.
And the losses of, you know, those lives, those young, vibrant lives that were clearly, you know,
people who had...
People had
futures, a lot to give,
yeah.
But yeah, and a lot of life to live.
Yeah, a long life ahead.
And it's an unfolding story as well, isn't it? As yes. we find out more about the man who did this, the man who obviously had his own struggles with his sexuality.
Mm. And again, even that is still in question.
We're never going to know, are
no,
we?
No, I don't.
But
think
all
so.
Those conflicts between somebody's religious identity, their sexual identity,
yes,
the way that they fit into society, and how when those things go wrong, when those things don't fit together, tragic things can result.
I think one thing that, I mean, obviously it reminded me so much of where I was and what I was doing 17 years ago when it did happen in the United Kingdom, of course. When a neo-Nazi called David Copeland placed nail bombs against the black community, the Asian community, and then finally on Old Compton Street in Soho.
So brought back all those
Admiral Duncan bombing.
Yes.
So it reminded me of that. But one thing that I did take, which I thought, you know, so much has changed, is the fact that lots of people from other communities, the Muslim, the Jewish communities, showed their solidarity and support, including on Tuesday at the vigil.
Yes.
Which I thought was brilliant as well. Now, of course, being a kind of quite rushed together thing, because it literally happened on the Sunday and we had the vigil on the Tuesday, there were a lot of people there that weren't able to hear the goings on up at the front, and we were obviously lucky enough to be there. So we have actually got a recording of all of that, and have listened to this, because this is all the people that spoke on the day. So
good evening, everybody. It is so amazing to see so many people turning up for Bristol to show solidarity. I'm going to get straight on, starting with our mayor, Marvin Rees.
So I just want to say just how overwhelming and how incredible it is to stand here, and I can't even see the other side of the crowd. It says a lot for our city. It makes me feel proud, and I hope you feel proud also. It's incredible to be here to show our solidarity with our brothers and sisters around the world. I had some friends here today who were from the United States, and I was so proud to be able to say that we were having this vigil this evening, just to take our stand and say what kind of city we actually want to be. I think someone just reminded me today, an observation by Martin Luther King, who's a real hero of mine. He says that at the end of the time, we'll remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And it's the fact that people have stood up today to make a clear statement about the kind of Bristol we want and about the kind of world we want, to make a clear statement about our care and our concern and our compassion and our connection to people on the other side of the world that just should make us feel so strong. I mean, in our time, I'm sure many of you here, I have experienced discrimination and unearned hate from people. And I just want to say that I look forward to working with you to build a city in which this is not acceptable, in which we make clear statements that the kind of Bristol we are going to be is one in which we genuinely work to live as equals. That's not just soft words. That's about real politics, it's about real economics, and it's about being proactive. And I'm really reminded in talking to people in some of the interviews I've done that at no point can we take our peace, our relationships, our communities for granted. It's something that we have to be very proactive in pursuing and defending and working for. And so I just want to thank you for being here today. And I thank the city for enabling me to be part of something that is very special. And I hope that the rest of the city looks on, the rest of the world looks on, and has a clear sense of what we stand for. So thank you.
Thank you, Marvin. Huge statement that you're here. I'm Alex Wakes, and I'm the strategic director from SARI, Stand Against Racism and Inequality, and we lead Bristol Hate Crime Services, a partnership of LGBT Bristol, Brandon Trust, and Bristol Mind, tackling hate crime. I'd now like to introduce our Chief Constable, Andy Marsh.
First of all, I want to say thank you very much for coming and showing what the city stands for and stands together against. The whole world has been shocked by the horrific events in Orlando. On behalf of Avon and Somerset Constabulary, Avon and Somerset Police, I want to say our thoughts and our hearts are with everybody affected by this atrocity, and that includes you present today. I want to say to the LGBT community and anyone affected by any sort of hate crime, you're not alone. Yesterday, my colleagues, many of whom are here today, LGBT liaison officers, lowered the flag at police headquarters to half-mast. To show you how supported you are, that had over 20,000 hits on our Facebook site, over 1,000 likes. You're not alone, and we are standing together, every race, religion, creed, and sexuality, to say that your tragedy is our tragedy. Love and humanity is stronger than hate. Thank you again for coming.
And to one of our great organisers for today, Darren Carter from Bristol Pride.
Thank you, Alex. Bristol has made me proud today with a show of solidarity across our community. I stand with you tonight, shocked and saddened by what's happened in Orlando to the Latinx and the LGBT plus community. We must recognise that this was an LGBT hate crime and that was organised against our community. I'm shocked and saddened, but I'm also angry. I'm angry because after decades of being treated like a second-class citizen, I finally felt that things were getting better for our community. It's still difficult to do simple things like holding your hand of your partner in public, but when I go into schools and I speak to young people, I tell them how things have gotten better and how our rights have changed over the last couple of years. 17 years ago, I was actually in Soho when the nail bomb took place in the Admiral Duncan. I had experienced homophobia before, but that was the very first time that I'd actually experienced the hatred that exists for our community. We said never again, and yet here we are today. The prayers have changed, but the hatred for our community has remained. All we want to do is to live our lives and to love. If you think that the LGBT community or the scene or the pride is not important, then this is why. I want as many of you to join the Bristol Pride Parade this year as you can, and to come to Pride and be loud and be proud. We will not live in fear. We will not be driven back into the closets. We owe it to all those that have come before us and the generation that will come after us to make sure that we don't. We mourn the dead today, but we fight like hell for the living. Together, we are stronger. Together, we overcome hatred. Love will always win. Thank you.
And I'd like to now introduce Arif Khan, who is the chair of the Council of Bristol Mosques.
We are gathered here today following the horrific, appalling recent tragedy event in Orlando. Myself and everyone here must be totally struck by the sickening news that our fellow friends have been the victim of terror. This vigil has been organized to commemorate and send our sincere condolence to all those who have lost their loved ones in Orlando. Our heart goes out to all those who have suffered and are suffering. The Muslim community of Bristol is once again equally appalled, shocked and saddened by these heinous and murderous acts of terror. These kinds of acts of evil are against all humanity. We stand in solidarity with the people of Orlando. Together we must continue to stand against the thwarted ideologies that these extremists use to divide our communities. We must stand side by side to condemn these acts of hate, evil, and we must show our unity and strength. Are we going to let them win? No, we are not going to let them win. We will stand shoulder to shoulder. Look at the diverse communities here. This is what you call Bristol. This is what you call love. This is what you call getting on with one another. And this is what we must keep on promoting. Thank you for listening.
And another of our Muslim leaders, Sahir Shabir, who is chair of Building the Bridge.
Thank you and good evening. It's unfortunate that we had to gather here this evening in this manner. Today's vigil in Bristol spells out the utter disgust in the brutal and indiscriminate killings of so many innocent lives that has shattered families and friends, not only in Orlando, but has been felt deeply here in Bristol too. No one has a right to take another's life, and no one has a right to create fear in a peace-loving world. Equally, no one has a right to do an abhorrent and heinous crime and expect to use a peace-loving religion as a reason. For the 50 people so innocently killed will be remembered for their individual joys and happiness they brought to the people they touched. Today, we stand in solidarity, irrespective of our race, creed, gender, or faith, and we also stand in solidarity, rising above any challenges that they try to divide us as peace-loving people. We also stand in solidarity as human beings who have compassion, goodwill, and honor, who have no space for discrimination for any community. We stand here in solidarity to send the message of unity, not only in a time of grief, mourning, or shock, but as resilient Bristolians standing in unity on all occasions. The LGBT community, its members and supporters, its friends and families, are all individuals and families and great people who make the fabric of society that we all have a part in. Whilst we pray for those perished, for the family and friends, the American people, and the people of the world touched and affected by this horrific act, those that seek to divide us, those that peddle hatred, and those that use religion to kill, will know now how wrong and evil they are. As a Muslim, Islam teaches me to respect the dignity of others. In our holy month of Ramadan, we are reminded how to conduct ourselves with good morals and characters. Only last week, the world celebrated the life of a great Muslim. This week, the world condemns and pities quite a different person. Let us also remember and pray for all the victims of hate, discrimination, violence, and terror across the globe. I would like to end with a message of support, not only for our LGBT community, but for the whole of Bristol in creating stronger ties, bonds, and understanding so we can always fulfill our vision of peace, love, and unity. Thank you very much.
So a few words from me on behalf of SARI and Bristol Hate Crime Services. Hate crime. Close your eyes and imagine this, that there's no hate crime, no prejudice, no discrimination in the world. What would the world be like? More peaceful, so much happier, safe, and humankind would be so much more successful. This hate crime is of the worst order, a hate-motivated massacre, the worst mass killing, it's been said, since of LGBT people since the Holocaust. What a horrific fact. It doesn't just affect those who are murdered, those who are still fighting for their lives, those recovering from injuries, physical or psychological. It is like that nail bomb in Soho. It's a bomb splintering out. It wounds their friends, their families. It wounds the communities they are part of. And it wounds worldwide lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender questioning people. It's attacked every one of them. It's attacked every person that believes in civil rights. SARI and Bristol Hate Crime Services, that we lead with our partners, is here for all in Avon and Somerset to prevent hate crime where we can and where we can't, to tackle it, to support the victims at the hard end to overcome the pain and trauma. Look around you now. How many have we got here tonight? 1,500? Now imagine a third of this number were murdered last year in mass killings in the US. 8 times that number were killed in gun-related incidents in the US last year. I hope this incident makes the US finally look to change gun control legislation and policy. Yeah. Never mind the states in the US that still are not supporting our LGBTQ communities. To end, I want to quote Eleanor Roosevelt in her preamble to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was made on the back of the acts of hate and genocide in the Second World War. She said, "Where, after all, do universal human rights begin? In small places, close to home, so close, so small, they cannot be seen on any maps of the world, but they're the world of the individual person, the neighborhood he or she lives in, the school or college he or she attends, the factory, farm, office where he or she works. Such are the places where every man, woman, and child seeks equal justice, equal opportunity, equal dignity without discrimination. Unless these rights have meaning there, they have little meaning anywhere. Without concerted, consistent action to uphold them close to home, we shall look in vain for progress in the wider, larger world." And I'd now like to invite the Dean of our Cathedral, who has opened the doors this evening for anyone who wants to go in to have some reflection, to light candles, David Hoyt, to just say a few words. Thank you.
There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. In our different ways, that's what we say today. Not hate, but love. The perfect love that casts out fear. It's a real privilege to stand here today. We've kept the cathedral open as a pledge or as a prayer. Do come and light a candle as this finishes. Thank you.
My name is Barclay Ward. I'm the chair of LGBT Bristol and the director of the Diversity Trust, and we work with Bristol Hate Crime Services. And Bristol Hate Crime Services, working with our partners at Pride, Bristol Pride, and with Out Bristol, we've put this event on, this vigil on tonight. And I want to welcome next onto the platform Peter Main, who was Bristol's first openly gay Lord Mayor.
This is absolutely amazing. Bristol, you should be very proud of yourselves turning out in solidarity with the victims in Orlando. So thank you for doing this. The only thing I'm going to say is that I spent a lifetime coming out of the closet. Nobody yet nobody is going to put me back in there by terrorism or by hate or by bigotry. And I... We stand solid with the victims in Orlando. They are our brothers, they are our sisters. The gay community should stand with them. Over the last few years, we have made many gains, much progress. But after this weekend, we obviously learned that we have a lot more to do. You, it's me, it's all of us in this in College Green tonight. We will achieve it together. We can't achieve it by ourselves. And if Orlando has shown us anything, it has shown that we need to work a lot harder to make progress for gay rights in the whole world.
I'd like to now welcome onto the platform Leighton de Burka, who's the director of Out Bristol, to say a few words. Please come forward.
Homo, bi and transphobia, whether internal or external, needs to be eradicated. LGBT communities should be free and equal to be their whole selves in every aspect of life and not forced to hide any aspect of their identity to conform to society's heteronormative ideals. Hate of all kinds needs to be reported, and this is what SARI do for us in this area. To help LGBT people feel free to be themselves, Out Bristol, that's been funded by the Police Crime Commissioner and supported by Bristol City Council, has a survey on the website to help with your to meet that need. Please visit Out Bristol's website to complete the survey, because this data will help us understand how comfortable you feel in places of your everyday life and online. Look around and see how making a difference is easy. Supporting each other is what makes the LGBT communities great and Bristol a great city. On a personal note, I would like to thank all the well wishes that Out Bristol has received and the other board members have received from all the multi-faith communities and community leaders across the city. Throughout LGBT history, those who hate or seek to diminish us have failed and will continue to fail, as our communities are based on love and hate only makes us stronger. Thank you for supporting your LGBT rainbow family today. Thank you. Goodbye.
The next speaker is a very dear friend, very long-standing friend of mine, Leslie Mansour. She's speaking from Unite the Union.
Thank you. The biggest thing for me is condolences to all of our LGBT intersex family who were ruthlessly slaughtered at the weekend. I was involved in fighting for rights at work. I don't know if you can see the t-shirt, I've dug it out of the cupboard. It says, lesbians and gay men never going underground. And we ain't going underground now. We didn't then. And we're not doing it now. And I hear a lot of drivel spoken about these atrocities. In Paris, in Pakistan, where 150 odd children were murdered in a school, where people in Nigeria were murdered in a university, where women are blown to pieces when they go to do their shopping in Istanbul. It's not right. Don't tell me it's about religion. It's got nothing to do with religion. It doesn't matter whether you have a religion or belief. And the other nonsense I hear is about all of these different races. Well, it's wonderful to see how many different people have come here tonight to commemorate this occasion. But at the end of the day, what are we? We're not different races. We're one race, the human race. And what we have to do is tell the politicians that we're not going to stand for it anymore. There's got to be change, and it's got to be different. We cannot allow all this killing to go on. And it may be about changing the gun laws in America, and it may be about what our politicians are doing in Syria. But at the end of the day, change has got to come.
Thank you, Leslie. I want to welcome onto the platform now
somebody who I've only met more recently and have been working really closely with. We've been working on a program of trying to educate people in health services about the issues for people from transgender identities. So please welcome onto the platform now my very good colleague and friend, Cheryl Morgan.
The atrocity in Orlando is unusual because of the number of people killed in one go. But homophobic, biphobic, and transphobic murders are not rare. Every year, over 200 trans people are murdered just because of who they are. The majority of victims every year are Latina women. It's therefore particularly disturbing that the attack on the Pulse Club should have taken place on Latin night. And our thoughts are with Latinx, LGBT plus people everywhere. Our thoughts are also with Muslim LGBT plus people who are facing an additional dose of hatred because of this incident. But I want to talk about religion more generally. Over the past couple of days, I've seen young trans people talking on social media about how they've been disowned by their families and how religion has been used as an excuse for abandoning them. I've also heard Christian preachers in the USA calling for violence against trans women who dare to use public toilets. It doesn't have to be like that. Last week on my Yojima radio show, I interviewed a Jewish trans man, Shirat Shan Knan, who heads a project called Twilight People that highlights the lives of trans people of faith. This project was funded by Liberal Judaism, as well as the Heritage Lottery Fund. There are Muslim, Christian, and pagan trans people involved in the project, as well as Jews. You know, things have got better over time. In the 1950s, life was much more difficult for trans people than it is now. The pioneering trans people, Michael Dillon and Roberta Cowell, both have Bristol connections. Dillon lived here and began his transition here during the Second World War. Cowell didn't live here, but she visited Bristol because she and Dillon had a friend here, a man of the cloth who saw in them people in special need of God's love because of the difficulties they faced in their lives. That man was Arthur Russell Milbourne, and he was the canon of Bristol Cathedral. Now, I'm really pleased to see our Muslim and Christian friends here today offering their support, and I hope that faith leaders of all faiths throughout Bristol will follow Canon Milbourne's example and embrace the LGBT plus people within their communities. God is love. It's man that kills.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I wanted to say a few words next. I was given my 2 minutes on the platform, but it occurs to me that this horrific incident was motivated by the perpetrator seeing something. I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with what that was, but I'm going to demonstrate that something right now with my partner. The reason I wanted to do that was because I don't want to live in a world much longer where I fear holding his hand in the street because I don't know what might happen as a result of that public show of affection. I don't want to live in that world anymore. And I know that the communities all over the world, the LGBT plus communities all over the world, some are suffering extreme hate and extreme violence. Some people on a very, very regular basis, even daily. I don't want to live in that world any longer. I just want to ask Darren Carter from Bristol Pride just to come back and say a few words.
Thank you, Barclay. As I said earlier, Bristol has done me proud today. You're an amazing community. We are an amazing community. So thank you. And for those who are perhaps religious, I'm now going to hand you over to the Dean of Bristol, who's going to say a few words. But thank you all for coming. Be strong.
I've been asked to say a prayer. I have behind me someone who had a friend who was in that nightclub.
either pray with me or just reflect in your own way as I speak. Lord, hear us as we remember before you John. Rest eternal grant unto him, and let light perpetual shine upon him. Give your angels charge over all those who now walk in fear, in anxiety. Guard us and guide us in our going out and our coming in. And bless us and guide us all in the ways of justice and righteousness and inclusion. In your own name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. Please, if you feel moved to, join us over in the cathedral and do light a candle. Thank you, everybody, so much for coming. It's an amazing turnout tonight. I think we've easily had 1,000, 2,000. It's been beautiful. Thank you, Bristol. And thank you to our wonderful sign language interpreter.
Singing at Bristol there with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which they did perform in the middle of the vigil, but we weren't able to get a microphone over to record that. So that is from a previous concert they'd done. So now, of course, it is very, very sad with the events of the weekend. And from everyone here at Shout Out, our hearts do go out to all of you. And thank you to everyone that came to the vigil. Of course, one of the big things that they do say after events like this is that, you know, life does carry on and it is important to carry on as well. So here, keeping you up to date with everything else that's going on in the world is the news team.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 16th of June.
As we've covered throughout this show, one story has dominated the LGBT newswires this week as the global gay and trans communities take stock of the most harrowing week since the Nazi attack on the Admiral Duncan pub in London 17 years ago. You can find continually updated reports at newswires such as Gay Star News, Pink News, TheAdvocate.com and Feminist.com. Be sure to support the regional and national gay press, local radio and TV programmes over the coming weeks.
Excuse me. During his bid to fight bullying and raise money for pro-tolerance charities Stonewall and Kidscape is Ben Smith. You may remember we met him at the beginning of his 401 challenge to run 401 marathons in as many days. Ben has now completed 284 marathons, according to a very supportive front page article on the Bristol Post newspaper. However, after visiting the hospital at Aberdeen on Saturday, Ben was urged to urgently rest due to a spinal injury. He hopes to resume his mammoth challenge on Midsummer's Day, June 21st, and we will continue to keep you updated. Go Ben.
Go Ben indeed. Talking of Midsummer, it's approaching the longest day and the shortest night in the Northern Hemisphere. LGBT pagans will be marking the event with ritual and magic, and of course some good old-fashioned celebrating. For the pagan religions such as Wicca and Druidry, the summer solstice marks the high point of the year. In Celtic religions, the festival is called Leitha, and according to the Pagan Federation of the UK, the god in his light aspect is at the height of his power. We wish our pagan listeners bright blessings at this happy time and wish you a summer of bounty and warmth.
A new Doctor Who spin-off class will have LGBT representation in a lead character, creator Patrick Ness has revealed. The author and screenwriter behind the new BBC Three series set at Cool Hill School shared the news via Twitter a little earlier than scheduled, according to the Radio Times magazine. The show says that the show follows in the footsteps of Torchwood, which also followed an LGBT lead, John Barrowman, Jack Harkness and Gareth David Lloyd's Lano Jones, went on to become one of Doctor Who's most beloved pairings.
And finally, let's take a moment to reflect on how far the UK has come in recent years. Since the last time the community had to unite in grief, attitudes have shifted and LGBT visibility skyrocketed. Now, this might stick in the craw for all you Republicans out there, but His Royal Highness Prince William, the future King no less, has made publishing history by being the first royal to appear on the cover of a gay magazine. July's issue of Attitude, which is out next Wednesday, features William gracing the cover. Prince William invited 9 delegates from the LGBTQ communities to visit him at Kensington Palace. They discussed experiences and coming out, according to a report on the media website Digital Spy. As Matthew Todd, the editor of Attitude magazine, says, it is great that the future King of England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland has shown an interest in the needs and concerns of our community. So, whether you're a monarchist or not, do show your support for William by picking up your copy of Attitude next Wednesday.
For these news stories and much more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Natalie.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. Doesn't really need a name check, that yes, one. That's Labby Siffre.
Yes, yeah, iconic.
Labby Siffre.
Labby Siffre. Yeah. It's an iconic song, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, changing the subject completely, do you like surfing?
Well, I've dabbled. I've dabbled in a surf and again. I have been known to don a wetsuit and board and run to the sea and embrace the goddess.
Have you heard of surf camp?
I have heard of surf camp. In fact, I've been to surf camp once or twice.
Well, on the other end of the phone from surf camp is Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Alex.
I'm very well, thank you. Hello.
So now, first question, what is surf camp for those that have never heard of it before?
It's a camp for lesbians that happens on the Gower Peninsula every year. We camp, we have fun, we have a bonfire, and we surf.
That does lead to the first question. Do you have to be able to surf to come to surf camp?
Absolutely not. I was running surf camp for about 8 years before I even got on a surfboard.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so what sort of skills have people got then? Is it a wide-ranging type of skills?
I don't know, really. I don't know how to judge surfers. I'm not very good myself. I do a lot of falling off, but it's just a great excuse to be in the water and go camping with some lovely people.
But is it something you can learn if you come along? I mean, do people like help each other out, or are there proper instructors? Or
there are lessons available from the beach car park, but then it's not something we currently organise. We did, for a while, organise surf lessons, but the instructor that we were using left for sunnier pastures.
Oh, okay.
So, there are lessons available, but they have to be booked.
B-
but, by individuals.
Cool,
yeah.
But at least you can have a go if you come along and you'd like to.
They do kick tyre and everything like that.
Yeah.
Now, what about those that are kind of more family orientated? Is this an adults only thing, or can you bring the kids? Or
it's mostly adults only. We don't turn children away, and there are young children who turn up. It is a women only camp, so we ask that boys older than 11 not come along.
Right.
But other than that, I am looking into possibly having a family area if there's call for it, but currently it's not an issue.
That's great. And how many women turn up to surf camp, Alex?
I have no idea how busy it's going to be this year, but...
Well, what's it been like in previous years? I mean, we're talking like 10 or hundreds or thousands? Or
the most we've ever had was 300 women.
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's a lot of you. Yeah.
But last year it was about 170.
So what sort of things do people normally get up to apart from surfing then? Do you know, you have nice beach parties and...
Yeah, there's always a bonfire on the beach on a Saturday night, and we provide the wood for that. There's also usually a volleyball game going on throughout the weekend. There's been swing ball tournaments, games of football, beach rugby.
Gosh, I haven't played swing ball in years.
Barbecuing, general merriment, campsite merriment, walks. There's sometimes a walk led.
Like nice hot chocolate and scoffing food by the fireside and singing. Lovely.
Toasting your marshmallows, having a bit of a sing along.
Yeah. Chocolate. Oh, great.
What about brandy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's a few people that might have a little nip or two of brandy on the cold
brandy.
On the chilly evenings.
No, Alex, if people are listening and it kind of sounds like their kind of thing, what's it cost and how do they is it ticketed or how do they go about coming along?
Tickets are £53 for a average size tent or camper van. There's a £33 tent for a very small tent with just one person in it, and you can get your tickets by joining the Women's Own Surf Camp group on Facebook. If you search it, it comes up fairly easily, and there's a link to be able to buy tickets on there.
Cool. And of course the most important thing, when is it?
Yes,
it is Friday the 8th and Saturday the 9th of July.
Brilliant.
There are always people who turn up on the 7th, and there are sometimes people who stay on the Sunday night as well, but surf camp itself is just the Friday and Saturday night.
Cool.
Great.
Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you ever so much for calling in to let us all know about it. I do hope it's a royal season. I hope you have good weather this year as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Supposed Fingers to be a crossed. Good year this year.
Yes. So. Let's hope it's a sunny surf camp for you. And
well, if it's not, I'm just going to put my wetsuit on.
Yeah. Yeah, just did. So. Join now, the ocean.
Am I correct in saying you have you got a website at the moment? Is it up and running yet?
No, we don't have a website. We're just using the Facebook.
Okay, so it's just Facebook. Cool. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll make sure we put the link to your Facebook page on our website, so if people want to find out more, they can do that. But thank you ever so much, Alex, and
thank
have
you.
A great time, won't you?
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
So, are you tempted? Are you tempted to go? You like campfires,
I do.
I do
like it, but it's a bit of a clash this year, I think, on the 9th.
Oh, it's Pride, isn't
because
it?
Because I think we've got something special happening in Bristol.
Yes. Oh.
Although it's tempting.
It's a long way to go and get back for Pride, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if you go for the Friday night.
Even if you went for the Friday night for a quick dip in the ocean. So
you two aren't allowed to go. You've got to help me broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll be here.
Right. I think we'll be donning headphones, not wetsuits.
Mitch is good at campfires.
I am. I love
No,
I love
campfires at Pride.
I think Darren.
Don't tell Darren, but I might have a secret one in the back there.
So, talking of Pride, we're going to be talking about it in a lot more detail next week, aren't we?
Someone's going to come in. It might well be Darren.
Cool.
Who will let us know how everything's getting on and how we can stay out and proud.
Yes.
Well, actually,
very
I think
important.
It's, I think it might not be Darren. It might be Freddie and Jane coming
well,
in.
Well, yeah. Well, where's Rod then for Rod, Jane and Freddie?
Rod, Jane and Freddie.
Shh, don't say that. They won't come on if you say things like that.
They will come on. They will come on. Mitch will make them.
Well, James, definitely.
Don't worry, there have been several people already asking about security at Pride and what's going to happen. We will make sure that we ask them next week so that they can actually give you a proper answer. So, it is important. Do come out. It's going to be brilliant this year, Pride this year. It's moving to the amphitheatre down on the waterfront, taking up the amphitheatre and, of course, all the way up into Millennium Square as well, isn't it?
It's going to be massive. And I think the march, the parade, you want to call it, it's going to be massive.
The march is almost like backwards to what it's been previous years, isn't it? Almost.
I have seen the route. I haven't memorised it.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of backwards to what it was last year. But there's a nice bit where we walk past the Hippodrome, I believe, this year.
There will be no avoiding us.
No. Well, the number of flags you normally get, and the whistles going off. I remember last year we were on site, weren't we? And you could hear it coming from the minute it started.
I think it's going to be particularly poignant this year, I think. And particularly important that we're all there and all being visible.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, who was the headliner again?
It's Heather Peace, isn't it?
No, not Heather Peace.
No, sorry, not Heather Peace. It's Lisa Stanfield.
Stansfield, right. Yeah. They're really
not
alike,
Heather Peace
those two.
Is for Elfest.
Okay.
Sorry, my brain is... lots of different festivals this year.
Yeah, so much going on, but no women in tune this year, sadly.
No, is it not?
No women in tune, but that's why Surf Camp is probably where a lot of those women who would normally have gone to WIT.
Yeah, so bring your guitars down to Hill End campsite and Surf Camp and enjoy the sun setting on the sea.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. It has actually been quite an emotional show, I think. And thank you to all of those that came to the vigil. As always, if you want to hear any of it again, all the details and the podcast are up on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. Next week, though, Freedom Youth are coming in to join us and tell us what they've been up to. And as we said, the guys from Pride will be here. So we'll be finding out more about this year's festival, which is coming around very, very soon. For myself, Mitch, Mary and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, people.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.